tactic.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Friday to you. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too, I guess, if that's something that you're into. And also, today is the anniversary. I don't know how many years. Either two or three. I think three. Of how many years I've been back with you on a daily basis here. Because I started doing the 9 to noon shift. It was on Valentine's Day, I believe, 2022. Yeah, that sounds right. After being behind the scenes for a couple of years, working as the digital managing editor and not being on air very much outside of Spooky South Coast, and then came back on a daily basis at the request of management. And I've been with you pretty much every day since, one way or the other. So we have a lot that we can discuss today. We're going to be joined later on by Laura Jaworski. She is the executive director of House of Hope. She is going to talk to us about the Echo Village that just opened in Providence, this little community of pallet homes as a way to help house the unhoused. And we're going to talk about how that project came to be, how they're going to execute the administration of it, and whether or not we think it's something that could be transferable to New Bedford. And so I'm looking forward to this discussion all week long because I want to find out, you know, what the logistics are, what the pitfalls are, and if it is something that could happen here. Now, the number one key first, as I've been saying all along, would be where would you put it? And I've heard a lot of response from people out in the community who think that this would be a good idea, but they ask the same question. Where would you put it? Most people understand that folks would be wary of it being in a residential area. I know the mayor would not have an appetite to put it close to anywhere where people coming into the city would see it. Now, in Providence, it's right off the highway. It's next to a highway on-ramp. But here, you know, we don't have a lot of those options. We do have homeless folks that gathered and would put up tents at the Route 18, 195 interchange, but obviously that's not a place that the mayor would like to see it, but also this is on state-owned land at the Echo Village, so how much say do you have in that if the state granted them the space? So these are some of the things that we can discuss later. And then also this morning, we are going to be announcing the South Coast's cutest couple. We are going to select the... Well, you selected, you voted, but we're going to announce who got the most votes out of all of the entrants that we had, and I can tell you this much. The number one cutest couple on the South Coast won in dominant fashion. So we'll announce that for you a little bit later on because our friends over at Fun 107 are going to call them. And then they're going to give us the audio so that we can play it. And I want to thank everybody that entered because I think everybody got some votes. you know, beyond just themselves. I'm sure people voted for themselves. Although, I don't know, I talked to people who said they entered the contest, but then they voted for the couple that is the likely winners. But the idea of it is just, you know, it's fun. It's not to determine anything serious. And it was pretty popular, so hopefully we'll bring it back each year. And each year you'll have a chance to vote. And we want to thank our great sponsors for that contest. Paradise Jewelry, Festiva Buffet, and Frontera Grill. So we'll announce the winner of the $250 gift card later on this morning. But we do have some sad news today. Well, I don't know. I don't know that it's sad yet. And I think a lot of people are jumping the gun on this story that we posted yesterday, in which one of the longtime Wareham restaurant institutions in town is up for sale. Now, if you remember a couple of years ago, Lindsay's closed down and everyone was heartbroken. It was a huge story, and we had follow-ups on it, on, you know, the chef from Lindsay's moving on to Charred Oak Tavern in Middleborough and planning to recreate some of the recipes there that people loved, like their chowder and their bisque and their turkey croquettes. And then we had the follow-up stories on the new owners taking over, and it became Town Tavern and Tap. And people just wanted, you couldn't give them enough Lindsay's related stories, because the restaurant had been in business over 80 years and it meant that much to people. And at that time, I wrote an article and had a gallery of photos of, you know, here's seven other longtime Wareham restaurants you can visit now that Lindsay's is closed. And one of them is a place that has now hit the market. Vell's Family Restaurant in West Wareham has gone up for sale. And I think this one might hit a little bit differently to locals than Lindsay's. Because, listen, everybody loved Lindsay's, but the locals knew that there's a good part of the year that, you know, it's just going to be filled with tourists. People who are going down the Cranberry Highway, heading to the Cape, you're going to have them stopping in at Lindsay's. Vell's is on the other side of town. It's in West Wareham. It's not that far from Wareham Crossing, and it's close to the Rochester line. So I think people thought, you know, this is out of the way. We can go down there, and it also helped that the portions were huge. I shouldn't say were, they're still open. The portions are huge, and the prices are relatively low. And it's just one of those kind of old school family restaurants where you'd be driving down the road and you'd be out in the middle of nowhere, and then you'd happen across this place, and, you know, what do they got on the menu? Steaks, seafood, pasta. Sounds good. Let's stop there. But one of the few places we can get a prime rib dinner for under $30. We can get a seafood plate for probably under $30. I don't know what the market price is today. But, you know, they're pretty reasonable. And people always left happy. And if you'd ever drove by on the Cranberry Highway, at any time of day, really, they have a large parking lot that was almost always full. Whether it be people who were in there having something to eat or hanging out at the bar, it's a popular spot, especially for the locals. And I think that's why the story is being met with sadness that the restaurant is up for sale. But I don't know that it necessarily means anything just yet, because The Bump family was in charge of that. You know, they've been running that place since 1964. I don't know what's going on. I reached out to them and they said that, you know, ownership is in on Wednesdays. I can call back on Wednesday. I said, okay, well, I'm not going to sit on this story until Wednesday. There could be a buyer by then. Like, you know, I'm gonna let people know about it now. So we'll reach out to the ownership and find out more. But it was a group of brothers that had taken it over from their parents. And maybe there just isn't another generation that wants to take over. That happens a lot, especially when kids work in the restaurant when they're younger. As I know some of the Bump kids did. That they decide, yeah, this isn't for me. I've had enough of this. You know, if you start working at 15, 16 years old in a restaurant and you're 45, you might be done with the restaurant business. You might have had enough. And you might, you know, you might have gotten out at 20 and said, I'm going to go pursue a different career. And when nobody is going to take it over in the family, well, what's the next thing you want to do? You want to sell. You don't want to just close down and say, well, that's it. End of an era. Never going to happen again. You want to see it continue on. And I think there will be interest in that restaurant. It definitely needs an updating on the inside. I don't know that I would change that. I would stick with that, you know, old school family restaurant feel, but I think anybody coming into it with a modern sensibility is going to want to redo everything. But they've got the formula to succeed. And I don't know how they keep the overhead down enough that they can give big portions for relatively small prices, but they've got it working. But the property has hit the market for $1.3 million. And folks are looking at that saying, well, why is it that much money? Well, first of all, the lot size is pretty large in a desirable area. So if anybody wanted to buy that land and not continue on with the business, there'd probably be a lot of commercial interest in that spot. But secondly, it also has a house behind it. A one-bedroom house that comes with the property. So you can run the restaurant and live there. Because nothing's better than having the owner right across the parking lot at all times. The staff loves that, I'm sure. So you can, you're like, all right, I can't get away with anything. Owner can just look out the window and see into the kitchen, see what we're doing. But I see a lot of people lamenting already online about, oh my gosh, I loved it. I wish I could have gone one more time. You still can. They're still open. And there's no indication that they're going to be closing anytime soon. This could be a simple situation where somebody comes along and buys it and you, the patron, never even knows the difference. And then someone asked me the question last night, why are so many of these restaurants closing or selling? And I think what you're seeing a lot of here, and you know, it's definitely something you got to look at on a case-by-case basis, but what you're seeing a lot of are retirements more than failures. Restaurants always have failures. Restaurants always have, in fact, you know, most restaurants don't succeed. They scrape by. And a lot of them don't even scrape by. They end up folding at some point or another. We talked about Rico's Pizza. The concept, I guess, just didn't hit the way that they thought that it would. Now they've retooled. New name, new menu, new vibes. And so that's going to be something that, you know, is part of the ebb and flow of the restaurant business. But I think what we're seeing with a lot of these recent announcements are retirements. People who are saying, you know what, I just want to get out. I've reached the age where I can't do this every day anymore. Nobody in the family wants to take it over. It just makes sense to offer it up to someone else to come in and be the new stewards of what's been built here. Or in some cases, they say, we're retiring and we're retiring the business with us. And that's what you have with a situation like, you know, your dog mill. Owner wanted to retire. Nobody's taking it over. The business will retire with the owner. Well, has retired. But then we got the announcement that Gary's Best, the owners want to retire, but they're working it out to find someone to buy it and hopefully continue it on. So a lot of these places that you've gone to your whole life, they have been staffed by a family. They have been owned and operated by a family. And eventually, family doesn't want to run the family business anymore. Bourassa Hardware, same thing. Family that runs it, ready to retire. No family wanted to take it over. They were able to sell it to another family-minded business owner who's going to have his, who has his own children working with him. So sometimes that can work out and sometimes it doesn't. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of these closures. It's not necessarily the economy. Although you could say, gee, if food prices weren't what they were and if the business was a little more profitable, would they give it a few more years? Maybe. But also, folks who have been running restaurants for 30, 40, 50 years, they deserve to not have to worry about that restaurant every day. And of course, I've got a lot of memories of Vell's back in high school. I would go there all the time. I dated the owner's daughter in high school. So we would go there every now and then, and I'd always have chicken parm. It was the place where I went to for my first legal drink when I turned 21 because I lived in the apartments across the street and my parents said, let's go walk across the street. We'll buy you your first legal drink. So we're there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon sipping a Jack and Coke at the bar. And I was like, I'm just going to drink all night. I was, Mom and Dad, you can go walk home. I'm going to stay here. And then I had that one drink, went home and watched Monday Night Raw because that was the night Mick Foley won the WWE title for the first time. But anyway, I think a lot of locals have a warm and fuzzy feeling when they think about Vell's, and hopefully that will continue, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here and we'll be back in a few. All right. It is time now to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump puts more federal jobs on the chopping block. A kayaker swallowed by a whale lives to tell the tale. And can Captain America captivate moviegoers this weekend?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Trump administration is ordering the mass firing of probationary federal employees. On Thursday, the Office of Personnel Management met with agency leaders and advised them to begin firing any probationary employees immediately. OPM data indicates hundreds of thousands of employees will be affected. Employees with probationary status have typically been working in the federal government for less than 2 years.
President Trump has promised to restore the American dream in this country. A healthy person has 1,000 dreams. A sick person only has one.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the new head of the Department of Health and Human Services. He was sworn in Thursday afternoon in the Oval Office as President Trump watched on. The Senate voted 52-48 to make Kennedy Jr. the next health secretary. Americans' credit card debt has reached a record high. of $1.21 trillion. That's according to a report released by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York on Thursday. The increase is part of a broader rise in household debt, which now totals over $18 trillion over credit cards, mortgages, auto loans, and student loans. A kayaker is alive after a humpback whale swallowed him whole, and it was all caught on camera. Adrian Simonkis was kayaking in the waters off Chilean Patagonia over the weekend with his dad when the whale swallowed him before spitting him back out. He told UK Channel 4 News he thought the whale approached him out of curiosity or to try to communicate. Igloo is recalling more than 1 million coolers over concerns they could amputate fingertips. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says the recall involves Igloo's 90-quart flip-and-toe rolling coolers. The CPSC says the toe handle can pinch consumers' fingertips against the cooler, posing crushing hazards. People who have those coolers are being told to stop using them immediately and contact Igloo to get a free replacement handle. 61 years after Beatlemania first hit America, Paul McCartney still creating a buzz in New York City. The legendary rocker has announced a third and final surprise show at New York's Bowery Ballroom. He'll take the stage at the 600-capacity venue tonight. He played the Bowery on Tuesday and Wednesday, only selling tickets in person and limiting them to one per person. First two shows saw him play Beatles classics such as Get Back and Hey Jude, along with songs from his Wings days, including Let Me Roll It and 1985. And Captain America, Brave New World, aiming for a huge start at the box office. The Marvel Studios film is projected to make $95 million in its first weekend in theaters through the President's Day holiday on Monday. It's also expected to bring in around $110 million internationally as well. Also new this week is Paddington in Peru, the third film in the franchise, projected to make between $15 and $17 million in its debut weekend.
WBSM Sports.
The Four Nations Face-Off International Hockey Tourney comes to Boston next week for three games, including the championship. Bruins resume their season on the 22nd, and it's NBA All-Star Weekend. Expect to see the Celtics pick back up in Philadelphia on Thursday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and windy today, a high of 32 degrees. On Saturday, early sun turning cloudy with snow later, a high of 31. On Sunday, widespread rain, especially early, a high of 39. And on Monday, the sun returns, but it'll be windy again, a high of 30. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Wanted to let you know that tickets to see the Doobie Brothers go on sale today at 10 a.m. They're going to be playing the Xfinity Center on Friday, August 15th, with the Coral Reefer Band, keeping the music of Jimmy Buffett alive. But the Doobie Brothers, always one of the biggest shows of the year. And I think the recent Yacht Rock documentary on Max is only going to make more people want to come out to this show. But the tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.com. You can get your tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. But also, we will be giving away tickets as we get closer to the show, because they've graciously given us some to give away again, because they know that every year, for the last couple of years, when the Doobies have hit the road and we do a ticket contest, it's one of our biggest contests of the year. I think we have more people entering to win Doobie Brothers tickets than we have entering to win Boston Calling. And those are like $300 tickets. People love the Doobies. And so we will have a contest for you to try to win some of those tickets as we get closer to the show. And as you know, every time we give away tickets here on the program, it's sponsored by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. So yes, today, 10 a.m., Ticketmaster.com, LiveNation.com, you can get your tickets to see the Doobies at the Xfinity Center. Every year I say, oh, I should go to that. I mean, I like a lot of the Doobie Brothers songs. I'm not a super fan, but seems like it'd be a fun party to go to. So maybe this year will be the year. I think last year it was I had something else going on the same time that the show was happening, but... And then, of course, you can always just recite the line from What's Happening. Which Doobie do you be? I said to Jackson, who handles all of our ticket acquisitions here, when he first got us the Doobie Brothers tickets, I said, do you think they can get us an interview? But if they do, I don't want them to tell me which Doobie Brother we're getting first. I want to just answer the phone and say, which Doobie do you be? And he had no idea what I was talking about because he's not old like me. He's never seen What's Happening. 508-996-0500. And in talking about restaurants that have closed, we were talking about how, you know, a few of the places have been ownership retiring. A few have been people not quite making it. But then you've also got some restaurants that have been very successful and have been able to acquire some other restaurants. And one of those is Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton. They've been very successful and have built a big following because of things like their lunch value menu. But for $11.99, you can go in and get a great hot meal Monday through Friday during lunch hours. But also because they have great value for your money. That's what people are looking for these days. You know, they want big portions for hopefully a relatively low price. But people also don't mind paying if they're going to be getting quality and if it's something that they can share or bring some home. And Brack's make sure that you always have a little something to put in a takeout container when you're done, because they give you big portions over there. And they run specials all the time to try to make it so that you can save a little money while you're still going out to eat. And they've recently acquired Boston Tavern in Middleborough to turn it into Brack's Tavern. And you will have the same, kind of the best of both worlds when you go there. But Brack's Grill and Tap is designed, and it's kind of their mission statement, to be part of the communities that they're in. It's not just about serving you good food and employing people and all that. They give back to local charities and nonprofit organizations. They work with them. They host fundraisers for them all. So when you go to Brack's, chances are you're also doing good to help a local community organization as well. So if it hasn't been on your list yet of places to check out, add it. Stop by and get that $12.99 lunch value menu. Stop in and get their famous bourbon bacon burger. have some of their brisket chili, which is the best chili I've ever had in a restaurant. I'm not just saying that either. You can check out their entire menu, get a feel for what they're all about at BraxGrillAndTap.com. And then let me know what you thought of it. The must-haves, I would say, get the chili, get the brisket chili, and order the one-pound meatball for the table. Because you don't want to try and take that on by yourself. But order it for the table and let everybody have a little bit. I was amazed at how perfectly cooked it was, how I had enough sauce in every bite. Now I'm hungry. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here so I can go root around in my office, see if I got a granola bar or something. Because, man, talking about Brax has me starving. We'll be right back. I was getting ready to head over to bowling. I was here working late. I didn't get out of here until after 6. And bowling starts at essentially 6:30. I think 6:35 is when practice starts. And so by like 6:45, we're starting the first game. So I was kind of pretty close. It was like 6:12 when I left here. Drove from here to Wonder Bowl, pulled into the parking lot, and as I'm pulling into the parking space, that song, I Can Dream About You, by Dan Hartman, comes on the radio. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going into bowling just yet. I'm going to be in here for another 4 minutes. And remained in the car and listened to the entire song, because that song is just amazing. And I can't turn it off when I hear it. It's so hard for me to stop listening to it when I play it here on the show. In fact, it's still playing in the background. But I walked in and my brother's like, oh, you made it. I didn't think you were going to make it for practice. And I was like, not only did I make it, but I had time for a little Dan Hartman before I came in. 508-996-0500. And then I proceeded not to do very well in bowling. I mean, I did okay, but there's no rhyme or reason to when I have a good night or when I don't, and what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. So whatever. It's just for fun anyway. Well, and for money, but it's more fun when you don't plan on ever winning any money. Speaking of winning money, later on this morning, we're going to announce who the winner is of our cutest couple contest. They're going to get a $250 gift card. Tell me that would make for a great Valentine's night out, huh? You don't even have to worry about where you're going to go with that, but we'll announce that winner coming up a little bit later on. This is a contest that we did in partnership with Fun 107, so we're going to have them call the winners and let them know that they won, and then if all works out, they're going to get us the audio so that you can hear it. And of course, it's 7:30, right after the 7:30 news. We're going to speak with Laura Jaworski. She is the executive director of House of Hope in Rhode Island. She's going to talk with us about the new Echo Village, the pallet homes that have opened up to offer shelter for the unhoused. 45 units that will allow for people to stay 6 to 12 months. And it's basically just a shed, but it has been outfitted with electrical outlets, with heating and cooling, with a window, with a bed, with some shelving. And while it's not, exactly dream accommodations, it's better than sleeping outside. It's better than sleeping out in the freezing cold of this time of year or the sweltering heat of the summer. But the important thing is it's bringing these folks into a community where they can be offered the assistance. They can be part of the programs that can help them get jobs, get back on their feet. And where they can feel like they are part of something again. To remind them of what that means. They'll have meals, they'll have showers, they'll have laundry facilities. And they'll have the ability to go out and look for a job, knowing that that particular night when they go home, they'll be able to get a good night's rest before they have to actually go and work. And again, if it doesn't work out, these homes are all on pallets. They can move them and say, okay, we tried, didn't work out. We can either try this in a different area or we could sell off these pallet homes and use that money for opening up a regular shelter, whatever it may be. But it's a risk that I think, or a strategy that I think is worth trying to employ in other places, including New Bedford. But again, the question comes down to where do you put it? So we're going to talk with Laura Jaworski about some of those decisions and questions that came about in the creation of the Echo Village and how it's all going to work out and see if it isn't something that isn't adaptable for here. When we come back, though, we're going to take a break here. When we come back after the news, we'll take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. Of course, the big story of the day yesterday is we broke the news that Vell's restaurant in Wareham, technically West Wareham, is on the market. It's up for sale for $1.3 million. You can read more about that on the WBSM app and on the website. Right now, though, let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few.
This loud Cuban band is crucifying John Lennon. No one wants to be lonely, no one wants to sing the blues. Spurs like a beret on his tuxedo shoulder.
One of the most poetic songs of the 90s, and you can go back and watch that video on YouTube and see